Hey, you're listening to the Smoked Meat Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoked Meat's brought to you by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Such a great place. They always make you feel like you're at home. I love going there. Jeremy and the gang just know how to treat people, and it shows. I've been around for a long, long time. Hopefully be around for a long, long time to come. Remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you. That's Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Another sponsor we've got here on Smoked Meat is Four Points Trading Company. They have got some of the most awesome candles around. I'm burning two of them down here in the studio right now. I've got firewood going and whiskey going. And let me tell you, it doesn't smell like a studio now. It smells just awesome. I love dealing with them. Everything's no muss, no fuss. They got great candles, great customer service. They ship fast, and you can usually find a dealer near you. You can go to fourpointstradingco.com and use the promo code SMOKEDMEAT for 10% off your order. So go check them out today. They got so many great scents, you will just not know where to even begin. So order them all. Today my guest is a young man named Sage Swade. Sage is a great musician, has some of the most awesome beats. He's a wonderful guy, and we just had a great time talking today, so we're just going to go on ahead and get this beast kicked off here on Smoked Meat. Hey, so how you doing today, Sage?
I'm doing good.
Outstanding, outstanding, man. You out there in Texas?
Yeah, I live in Austin.
Okay, how's it going out there today? Is it nice and sunny and pretty?
It's good. It cooled off a little bit, finally, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a fat boy. I love some cool weather, and it's doing the same thing here in Georgia, man. It's beautiful out there today.
Oh, yeah, y'all get, like, crabapple trees or something, right? You have, like, flowering trees?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've got those, and we got, the Bradford pears, which I never understood why they call it a pear tree, because there's nothing on it. Just a giant pollen catcher.
Those sound really pretty, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Looking forward to tomorrow. I'm going to throw a 25-pound brisket on the smoker, so that's a wonderful thing, and doing about 30 pounds worth of jerky.
Mm. So,
oh, yeah. But, yeah. I hear you got a new album coming out, or a new album out, Thick Juicy Bass.
Yeah, I recently released my album, and it's been pretty good. I had some music videos make it into an art gallery recently, so that was cool.
Sweet. Very cool. Yeah, you know, when Eileen told me I was going to interview you, you know, I like to do my homework, you know, because I'm that old guy whose playlist has been the same for 30 years. And before I started doing this, you know, I wasn't up for really new music. I'm like, Metallica and this and that, and that's my music, period. Everything else, no.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, just out of respect for my artists, I like to listen beforehand because that's just disrespectful not to. And I've been listening some, and I'm digging it. You've got some really good beats.
Thanks. I think I do a lot of stuff that other people don't necessarily do. Like I like to swing the rhythm. And I definitely have some, like, background in more alternative styles, too. Like, I try to do that vocally, and I might bring guitar back into it soon enough.
Mm. Yeah, because I was, like I said, I listened to several of them last night, and Sexy in That Sweater from Roar has been stuck in my head for about 12 hours now.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And it's pretty good. I mean, it's the thing I like about that, what I've heard, is if you find something that you don't like on the album, which I haven't yet, everything is just different enough to where you will find what you like on there. And that's the great part. It's a nice musical journey. And I like that.
Thanks. I've been thinking that too, that there's really, like, something for everybody in there because the style changes so much.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, because I've never been a huge hip hop guy, but I like it. And I don't even know if I would classify it as just straight hip hop. It's just, like I said, it's alternative and I like it a lot. So.
Thanks. Yeah, it's also like EDM, and I use kind of like some synth pop or electro pop kind of in there too. So it definitely, it's all over the place with the genres.
Yeah. Yeah. And three languages.
Yeah, the album, it's mostly English, but then I have a track in Portuguese and Spanish at the end too.
Yeah. And that's something I haven't heard. That's pretty cool. Like I say, I mean, that just shows off that, you know, you're versatile, and I like that. You know, I hate groups and artists that, you know, they'll get a hit with one song, and after that, every song sounds exactly like that one. I despise that. You know, they use that formula, and okay, we're making money with this, which money's a great goal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not allergic to it, but at the same time, you know, stretch a little, and you do, and I like that.
Yeah, I just get bored doing the same thing, and I think that's how people listen too. I mean, people do get used to one style or certain styles, and they expect that, but I like to keep people on their toes.
Yeah, and that works for me. And, you know, you've been doing music for a long, long time. You know, I was reading on your bio, you know, just, you know, guitar, drums, piano, clarinet. You know, I got a daughter that played the clarinet.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, you got a great musical background. Started doing Ableton when you were young. Now, that's pretty cool. That's something I didn't have when I was a kid, was nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, the ways that people can be creative with it and just any kind of software is just amazing now.
Yeah, it's definitely changed things a lot. And a lot of people are producing their own work now. And, you know, like what you were saying about artists doing the same style, I also find it kind of frustrating that there's artists that they can't really do a song from start to finish. You know, they're not capable of it.
Yeah.
And there's so many, you know, people that are self-produced now that they write all their music and they do everything at home and stuff like that. And I really respect that kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people don't realize it takes a lot. You know, just this interview, you know, I do everything myself. I'm the only one that has any production with this show. You know, I get my guests from Eileen and Jimmy, who are just, they've given me some amazing people. And I do my own prep, edit, you know, I'll sit and do my intros. I'll find my own sponsors, which I've got two of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do my background music. I use a company called Epidemic Sound, who has a lot of any kind of music you want, they have. And it's good because I can license it, and it's $15 a month, so I don't run into the copyright things like a lot of people do. And because I like my podcast, but I don't want to pay $40,000 an episode in penalties because I used somebody's music.
Yeah.
I'm good. And, you know, I edit it and put it all out and market it. And it's, you know, it's a lot of work, and people don't realize it. They think, okay, he sits in his basement and talks for 30 minutes. And, you know, to do a song, I mean, even just put the beats down is an amazing thing when you do it right.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of trial and error and listening to it like as many times as you can tolerate it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll go back and I'll listen to each one of my shows. I drive about 40 miles to work, and that's mainly what I listen to when I'm on my way to work, is I listen to myself. And that's really weird doing that in the car, especially if you're just talking. But
yeah, I'll do that in the car too, just because especially like with music, it's like really useful to hear it on the bigger speakers.
Yeah.
To hear how it balances. So I definitely do that too.
Yeah. And you know, I like doing it. I like listening to other shows on the drive in, and sometimes I'll throw on Napster and listen to some music. And I'm getting there. You know, my musical journey started because I've gotten some really good artists on here, and it's neat to hear something on there and say, that's my friend. And it's so cool to be able to do that. You know, when I did Leland Sklar, the bass player, you know, he's been on tour basically since 1970 and played on over 2,700 albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to Phil Collins the other night, and I'm like, that's Lee on there. And that's so neat, because it gives you more of a personal connection with the music. And that's why I like to do my show the way I do. Because, you know, we could get on here and I could do my radio voice and I could ask you the questions you've been asked 300,000 times. So tell me about your songs. And people get that because they've heard it on every other show. With this one, I like for them to get to know you as a person, and that way they're invested in your music then. They want to hear it. And that's so much fun to be able to do that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it just like I said, looking at your musical background is awesome. You know, you were a kid in the marching band. And
yeah, you know, I did marching for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's neat because, you know, a lot of the kids in the band, you know, both my daughters were in the band. One played flute and one played clarinet. And, you know, I ain't saying a stigma around band kids. You know the cliques in school. You know, you got the band mm-hmm. kids, you got the jocks, you got these people. And nobody really thinks about it. You know, they think, okay, if one of the band kids makes it in music, they're going to be the music teacher at the high school when the other one retires or something like that. And you took it and made good, and that's awesome.
That's interesting because my sister plays flute. Actually, she played flute in band,
mm-hmm.
and I did clarinet. So,
yep. My oldest daughter played flute, and my youngest daughter came along and decided she didn't want flute; she wanted clarinet, and she started playing. And it was funny because the first time she played, you know, she went and got her instrument from school, and she came home and. They showed her how to put it together and basically how to play a little bit. And she came home and went in her room, and it sounded like somebody was pistol whipping a set of bagpipes for about 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the most beautiful, smooth jazz just started coming out of her room. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, she just, boom, picked it up perfect. And mm-hmm. after about a year and a half, 2 years, she's like, yeah, I'm done with the clarinet. We're good. And hadn't played it since.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was hilarious because I thought she was in there playing a CD or something. I'm like, where the hell did she get a jazz CD? And I walked in and she's in there playing her clarinet. I'm like, holy crap.
Well, it's always a fun thing to pick up too. Maybe she'll want to pick it up sometime and do like Benny Goodman or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's a good kid, man. And I think music is just such a great thing because it gives people something to, you know, create with it. It's a universal thing. You know, we talked about the three languages on your album, you know, and the thing is the songs that I don't understand the language are still good songs because of the beat, because of the melody, everything just melds together
mm-hmm.
and it's universal. And that's the beautiful thing about music. It heals people and it brings back memories. You know, I can't tell you what I was doing in 1984. But you can name a song from then, and I can tell you what I was doing the first time I heard that song in detail. And it's so weird, but, you know, music is a gift to people, and I'm glad that you're giving that gift to everybody.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm doing my best.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, whenever you were using Ableton, do you still use Ableton, or what are you using now?
I'm still using Ableton. I've kind of dabbled with Logic Pro in the past, but I don't have the money for that kind of license, so I'm still on Ableton.
Okay. Have you used their Stream Deck?
What is that for exactly?
It's a little piece of hardware, and it's you can get it with 15 or 30 buttons on it that each of them be programmed for different things.
I've seen those, the different forms of that. Yeah, I don't have one of those, so actually.
Yeah, I'm actually about to get one of those. I'm starting a video channel. I'm doing these. And once I get that started and get it done, I'd love to have you on it because I'm going to do my interviews live then and still record them and keep them out there. But, you know, I'd love to have you on there once we get the video channel started. That'd be great.
Sure, that sounds cool. I've heard about the little switchboards. Like I think Launchpad has one.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, but the Stream Deck actually is made to work with Ableton. So
it's even easier.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not that bad. I think the 15 button one is like $150, which isn't bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be worth looking into.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
But yeah. And, you know, looking at the bio again, I was looking at it and said, what Sage does? And, dude, you do a lot of stuff. I mean, the modeling, you know, you make your own music, you produce it, you market it, you know, you do websites, all that. I mean, you're a busy guy. And, you know, to me that helps, you know, show you take pride in music, you take ownership of it, and you want to get it out there. And that's awesome to me.
Yeah, it's definitely really nice having, you know, a lot of creative control in what I do. And it would be nice to have a team too. But, you know, at this point, I really like am happy with what I've made. And I feel like the big reason that I ended up doing everything is just because I couldn't rely on other people. Mm-hmm. I tried to, you know, like initially I tried asking some friends if they'd want to form a band or something. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to do the work.
Yeah.
So, you know, just over time, it's just been me like getting better at all the things I do and, you know, working harder and picking up all these new skills so that I could, make what I have now. So I'm pretty happy with where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand that, you know, that's why I do everything on my own. You know, I've had people in the past who, you know, I've never paid for guests at all. But I've had people who, you know, wanted to come on, and you know, I'll let anybody on. You know, I'm real easy. I look at it this way: whether you've been in, you know, 100 Oscar nominated movies or you ate out of the garbage can yesterday, everybody has a story. Everybody has something to offer. And you know, I've had people that, you know, because they were on, wanted a piece of the show. And I don't make money off of this. This isn't monetized. My two sponsors, you know, one of them, Joe's Underground, is the place that bought my first round of equipment. You know, they believed in me when I didn't believe in me. And because of that, they're on the beginning of every show forever, period. And I've got another sponsor that I just started with. You know, it's a short-term thing. It's kind of a trade deal. It's a Four Points Trading Company. They're a candle company, which is pretty neat. I'm burning two of their candles now. They got one that smells like firewood and one that smells like whiskey.
Ooh.
And they're great. But, you know, I hate when people, you know, like I said, they don't do any of the work, but they want the reward. And
yeah,
can't do that.
And it's problematic too, because the industry, there are a lot of people that are on top of it that they don't really write their music, and they're given all that publicity. They're given like a majority of the airtime, and it's frustrating for people like us that we're like working towards it and trying to get our work out there, but you don't hear it over all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what's neat to me is I can look back at the end of the day and I'm the only person in my circle right now that I can say, I interviewed Sage Swade today. I made a friend. And I know when I go to sleep tonight, I can lay my head down. I know that I did right by you. I did the best job I could for you. And that makes me feel so good, you know, whether this thing ever makes money or not, you know. We've done something special and something great. And I love that part about this. You know, the creative side of me just eats it up, because this is how I wind down. You know, my full-time job, I'm a paramedic. And mm-hmm. This is my release. This is how I get rid of that day. And I look at it this way. You know, I've up to about 150 shows now, and that's 150 people who have helped me get rid of that. So there's a special bond there now. And I call anybody that's been on the show, you're part of the Smoked Meat family now. And that means, you know, you keep this number. And anytime you need to talk or anytime you want to promote something or just say, hey, call it. You know, it's my cell. It's on 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And you're part of that family now. Yep. Especially being from Texas, the brisket capital of the world, because you know it is smoked meat.
But, yeah, we definitely have lots of meat here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, it wouldn't be a show if I didn't ask you, what is your favorite thing? As far as if you had, you know, Robert Wall asked me one time when he was on my show, it was funny. It was like he was interviewing me. he asked me a question that's kind of stuck with me, is what would my death row meal be? You know, what would yours be? What would your last meal be? Your favorite thing in the world?
Well, that's a hard question.
It is.
I really like pasta, so it'd probably be some kind of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe ravioli or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I do a ravioli that my wife and kids love. I just basically spinach and ricotta. And I've got another one that's lamb and feta that I'll do.
Ooh. And that sounds really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it a lot.
You make it from scratch?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, pasta intimidates a lot of people because they think, oh, this is going to be so hard. And it's not. It's not really that hard. It just takes a little bit of time. But when you do it and you do it right, it's a wonderful thing. It'll make you just want to hunt down Chef Boyardee and smack him in the head.
But, well, that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, have you got any advice for any of the young people out there right now who are listening and, you know, have listened to the album and say, man, I'd love to do that one day?
I'd probably just say that it's kind of tough to, you know, like find yourself when you're young and to know what you want to do necessarily. But, you know, if you do have a goal or there's something that you really want to do, you can keep working at it and get there. Mm-hmm. So don't feel like you're like stuck in your situation or you're stuck in who you can be, because over time you can eventually get there. You just got to keep working on it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah. It takes a long time to find yourself. You know, I'm almost 50 years old and I'm still looking. You know, I've had so many incarnations of me that, and it's funny, they're all kind of the same, but they've all got their little differences. You know, you can look back over my comedy career. I've been doing stand-up for almost 30 years, and if you saw a video of my first show as opposed to my last one and anything in between, there's just so many differences. You know, I went through the awkward first couple of shows period where it was, take my wife, please, you know, that kind of crap. And then I went through my everything's an F-bomb period, and, you know, I went through the just every little nuance of comedy I've been through, and now I've kind of settled into, I'm just me. I finally figured out nobody wants canned crap. They want you to put yourself out there. And for me, that's worked so well. You know, I'll never be famous. And that's cool. I can dig it. But I know whenever people pay to see me, they're getting their money's worth now.
Well, that's good.
Definitely, definitely. And that's all anybody wants as an artist, you know, because I look at it this way. If somebody likes my work enough to actually pay to see it or pay to hear it, you know, one, I'm happy about that because I like money. But I like to be able to make them walk out of there and know that it was well spent, you know, whether I see a dime of the cover or what, you know, I want them to know they didn't blow their money today going to see Brad.
Yeah, and that's the same kind of reason I don't mind, you know, occasionally doing free shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's about the art.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, how has the pandemic been with you? You know, I hadn't heard a lot of how it's been in Texas. I know here in Georgia, we've kind of been up and down. I'm actually staying down here in the studio right now because I had somebody with a fever on the ambulance the other night. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't have any symptoms. I had on all my protective equipment, but, you know, I don't want to get my wife and kids sick if I wind up getting anything. So when I'm exposed to somebody in the studio for a week at least. So I love my studio, but I'm getting sick of being down here the whole time.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, you could do a new hobby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's where the video channel's coming from. Think so. And you know, I've got this thing I did when the pandemic started, when everybody started locking down, is I published an Amazon list, and it was all the hot food challenges. And you know, I said I do characters also on my YouTube channel I've got now, and I told everybody, anyone that orders this can pick what character I do and what they're doing while I do this challenge on video. And the response to that was pretty good. I got to read part of the book of 50 Shades of Grey as my clown character. My clown character, his name's Murray. He's not a normal clown. This is Murray's voice right here. "So how are you today?" Murray is a little bit abrasive. Murray drinks a lot, which in his first video in 10 minutes, he drank a fifth of bourbon, which it was tea, because if I drank like Murray, it would kill me. But he is
the show be over.
Yeah. But he is amazing. And somebody sent me the white chocolate challenge, which is a piece of white chocolate with 12 of the hottest peppers in the world in it.
Ooh.
And wanted me to read the dirty parts of 50 Shades of Grey. So I said, okay, we can do this. Got on the makeup and everything. I sat down here at my desk and I just Googled 50 Shades of Grey, dirty parts. Clicked on something, saw paragraphs. I'm like, cool, that'll work. And didn't read before I started the video. And so I did my intro and I ate the piece of chocolate. And, you know, at that point, it's the point of no return because I'm not doing that thing twice. And I start reading and holy crap, have you read this book? Oh, man, it's rough. But I got through it, and it was hilarious. And, you know, everybody says, why do you do this? It's because it makes people laugh, and people need to laugh right now. You know, I love hot stuff anyway, but, yeah, the 50 Shades of Grey was a little tough one.
I love spicy food. I actually kind of want to try that now.
Oh, the white chocolate challenge is amazing. It's good. Well, it's got pepper X in it.
What kind of chocolate is it? It's just exactly.
Just like a little square of white chocolate, like one of the little Ghirardelli squares is what it looks like, about that size.
Is that, is Pepper X, is that the edible pepper spray?
No, it might as well be. It's right now, it's the hottest pepper in the world.
Oh.
The same guy that developed the Reaper developed this one. And, it's stout. But it's good. I actually just bought a bottle of sauce, called Gator Sauce from that company. That's their Pepper X sauce. I haven't tried it yet. But it's hot. And I found out that Tabasco did a special edition with scorpion peppers. And I got a bottle of that. I'm going to try it tonight, as a matter of fact.
That sounds good. Regular Tabasco is too weak for me. I did try the edible pepper spray this one time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of burns in your mouth for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like a toothpick.
Yeah.
But yeah, that wasn't bad. I really like habanero is really good. I like scorpion a lot too. Mm-hmm. Scorpion pepper is really good.
Yeah.
I feel like hotter than that though, I don't know if I would, just cause it's a little bitter and it doesn't really improve the food to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely try the chocolate. I might like it actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a good taste. It's nice and hot. It actually got a really good taste. Now, the hottest thing I've ever had was a challenge called the Toe of Satan. And it's a lollipop. It's kind of cinnamon, but it's made with basically pure pepper extract. And that thing was ridiculous. I think I made it a minute and a half with it. It was ridiculous. I had to dress up as one of my characters named Wayne, who Wayne is kind of that 70s love guy. He's got big red hair and a red mustache and wears like a Hawaiian shirt. And this is Wayne's voice, baby. Wayne's just cool like that. And they wanted me to read The Little Engine That Could. And, that was interesting because The Little Engine Couldn't on that one. Man, that's my hottest one so far.
But that sounds pretty good. I mean, I guess maybe you just have to lick it, like not like suck on it, just lick it a little bit.
Oh, no, the challenge is you got to suck on it. That's the challenge, yeah. Which licking it was ridiculous. I mean, usually with hot stuff, it'll build a little bit. This thing was like touching your tongue to a car's cigarette lighter. I mean, it is... Whew. It's rough.
Yeah, but
it
I'm was sure. Good.
But it was good. I got through it. I lived. My lips fell off, but I glued them back on. They're fine now. I got them upside down, but I fixed it. But oh yeah. But so I know that, you know, we can go and see you at sagesway.com. And I'm actually going to put that in my show notes also. That way people can learn about you and kind of see what, keep up with what's going on with you. And why don't you tell everybody where they can hear you and where they can get you on social media and everywhere.
Okay. So I'm on all the most common streaming and music buying platforms like iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Deezer, Tidal, Amazon. And on social media, you can find me as Sage Suede, which is spelled S-A-G-E-S-U-E-D-E. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be Sage Suede or Sage _ Suede.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on all the most common ones like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Oh, man, I'll tell you, I've had a blast interviewing you today and talking to you, and I feel like I have made a new friend. And that's awesome because now when I listen to your music, I can say, that's my boy.
Yeah, you have to let me know the brand for that chocolate so I can try it.
Yeah, go to, let me think who it was, Fuego Box has it. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I can remember that.
Yeah, it's Fuego Box. They've got it. And there's actually a thing that when you buy one of those, you're basically feeding 50 people.
Wow.
Yeah, so they give back. I like companies that do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, most definitely. But yeah, check them out. Let me know how that goes. And hey, that may be something we do on the video channel. That'd be awesome. I'll get one, you get one, and we'll do the interview while we're doing this thing. I think that'd be kind of funny. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, man, I appreciate you being on here, and you know you're welcome back anytime.
All right. Yeah, it was great talking to you.
Well, thank you.